Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And this will be our scripture lesson and our text, all in one. Jesus is giving a number of parables. There is always ever a danger to pull a single verse out of the middle of a bunch of other scripture, but we're going to do that this morning and pray that we have the context in mind. But the Lord is teaching, of course, about heaven, about eternal life, about salvation, and He's giving these parables so that men might understand a little about heaven. It's difficult for man to truly understand, and I don't suppose that in this life we'll ever fully comprehend heaven. It is, I believe, beyond our ability to fully be aware of the wonders and the splendor, as we have said so often, as John was given that revelation. And he just said things that what he saw looked like this, looked like that, but it wasn't exactly that. Trying to describe the things of heaven, and Jesus is giving these parables so that you and I, so that men might understand a little about heaven and enough to know how to find it, what we are to look at it, in what ways and in what manners we are to look at it. And we want to read this 44th verse, which is a parable in and of itself, a single verse. Jesus says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." This parable likens the kingdom of heaven to a treasure that is found in a field. And a treasure the gospel is. This is perhaps the greatest, it is the greatest treasure that we have been given by God, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gift of His Son, where He came and He died for us, for men, that we might be saved. And this treasure is labeled correctly. It is of utmost value, and it grows in its value over time. It does not diminish, does not decrease with the years. I don't know if you've ever had something that you really wanted, and upon obtaining it, perhaps not necessarily even quickly, but over the years it becomes less and less important to you and less valuable to you. But the gospel is not so. It grows in its value. I read about a pastor who was the pastor of a church for 41 years, and he was quoted as saying this. He said, "I told another, or I was speaking with one, and I testify that at 30, speaking of 30 years old, after examining as best I could the philosophies and religions of the world, I said, nothing is better than the gospel of Christ. At 40, when burdens began to press heavily and years seemed to hasten, I said, nothing is as good as the gospel. At 50, when there were empty chairs in the home, I said, there is nothing to be compared with the gospel. At 60, when my second sight saw through the delusions and vanities of earthly things, I said, there is nothing but the gospel. At 70, amid many limitations and deprivations, I sing, should all the forms that men devise attack my faith with treacherous art, I'd call them vanities and lies, and bind the gospel to my heart. Years, as they go by, bring the gospel to a more precious place in our heart. At least it should. And I would say to you that if it does not grow sweeter to you, you are either a far distance from God or you're not one of His children at all." This man, after spending years proclaiming the gospel from Genesis, no doubt, through Revelation, 41 years of preaching, and he comes down to this: the gospel of Christ is the most dear thing that I have. It's always been the most dear thing that I've had, and I believe it always will be the most dear thing that I've ever had. And this treasure is hid. This man understood this that we just spoke about, how the gospel grows deeper and dearer through the years. This one single verse, I want us to walk together through this field. And those of you that have been saved, I want you to remember, as you walked through this field in this parable, and one day the gospel got a hold of your soul, and you saw that treasure, and you went gladly and sold everything to obtain it. And I want us to walk together through this field, because there may be some here today that don't understand this treasure. May God grant anew to us that know this treasure to rejoice again in it. For those who do not have this treasure, may the gospel of Jesus Christ enter their hearts and may they find it today. We first notice here that this treasure is found in a rather unlikely place. This man in the parable, he's walking through a field. Walking through a field, and all of a sudden he looks and he finds a treasure that is so valuable to him that we're told again that he goes and he sells everything that he has to buy the field so that he might ensure that the treasure is his. A lot of people today, and you know people like this. In fact, you and I may even be guilty of doing this at times. They're looking for the precious things of life, the treasures of life. They're looking in the places where the world says they are to be found, when in reality, the treasure of the gospel is found when God shows it to you, wherever you may be. We've all heard testimonies. We've heard testimonies of people back in the day when they would be out in the field, harvesting or planting or working in the fields, and God got a hold of them and saved them. We've heard of people driving down the road. We've heard of people at home. We've heard of people in far distant countries. We've heard of people in all kinds of different scenarios. But God showed them the treasure of the gospel, that you can be forgiven, that God will save you, that you can be redeemed. And that treasure was so valuable, they were willing to let go of everything else to obtain it. But too much of the world, and you and I are sometimes even susceptible to going out and looking for the treasures of life where it's supposed to be found. Money, power, fame, jobs, family, leisure, you name it. There are many things. Security. I think this is a big one for me. Lord, I'll serve you. Just make sure I feel secure in the world. I'm secure in heaven. What does it matter how secure in the world I am? I am secure eternally. Why do I concern myself so much with being secure in a temporary place? This man found this treasure and he sold everything and he found the treasure that was the most valuable, even though it was in a very unlikely place. I would suggest to you today that maybe this place would seem an unlikely place. I bet if we all went back 6 months, certainly 3 or 4 years ago, none of us in this room would have projected and seen in the future that we would be here today. But the treasure of the gospel is to be sent wherever God sends it, and so that people might find it. And this treasure, again, is of such value. And it says that this man, not only did he find it, but it's kind of interesting or odd to our ears to think that this man, then he hid it. And I think there's a picture here of salvation being the gospel, the treasure of the gospel being an inward thing. It's not something that you can look at outwardly. Yes, there are outward manifestations of the reality of the gospel in your heart. We have preached upon that and taught upon that, and we continue to, and we should continue to. Jesus himself said it this way, you will know them by their fruits. You can see outward evidences of reality, but what you are seeing is an evidence, not the treasure. You're seeing the evidence that there's a treasure there. And you've seen preachers preaching by the help of the power of God. And you know that there's a treasure inside that God has given them. And they're doing their best to bring it out so that you might hear and obtain and understand the gospel. You've heard people testify and say, that one has been walking with the Lord. I cannot see outwardly what's going on, but I know there's an evidence of something going on inwardly. And I want you
And I want all of us to pray that God would help us to encourage one another in such a way that on Sundays it is an overflow of the walking with God that we've done through the week. And when we come here on Sundays, we have a treasure that has been built up within us to bless our brothers and sisters to one another, to the way that God has been blessing. But this man hid this treasure, and in that we see it's a hidden thing, an inward thing. Salvation is ultimately a work of the Spirit of God performed in the inner person. You know that, and I know that. But how many people are trying to put on Christianity on the outside, never having been changed on the inside? How many people are trying to dress themselves up as Christians when in reality it should be a natural progression of the treasure that has been hidden in the heart? Paul says it this way in Corinthians 4:7, in speaking about this treasure in a different way, but in relation to it, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be, or the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure that this man is going to go away and sell everything that he has for, it's inside. And then it comes out. It doesn't work the other way around. It never has, and it never will. I think sometimes we're guilty of wanting people to clean up their lives and then they can come and be saved. Or people think that themselves, that God will never save me because I'm too bad. I'm too ugly. I'm too sinful. I'm too this. I've done this and I've done that. I tell you, I have good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross for just people like you. You know, the bigger struggle I think that the Western culture has? There are certainly people who feel themselves too bad for God. I think the struggle that we're running our heads straight into with this culture is people being too good for God. They put on this Christianity outwardly and they think they're going to fool God. They think that the robes of their earthly works will fool Him, but it will not. This reality, this treasure, he hid it. It was in a place he did not expect to find it. And as we walked together with this man, we walked through the field. You can imagine his surprise. You can imagine how he stopped and he paused and he thought, how wonderful for me to find this treasure here. When I was 11 years old, I went to the same church camp I'd been going to for as long as I could remember. Going to the same chapel and service that we went to every year on that Tuesday, every afternoon during the week. And then we were going, everybody's mind was on what was coming next. All the activities and the crafts, and we stayed there for a week. And all our friends from other communities that we didn't see very often, everybody's mind was on everything else. And for whatever reason, as I was walking through the field that day, God showed me the treasure. And it convicted me, because the treasure comes with a reality of sin and conviction. But it was a treasure that was worth everything. It changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. I think those of us here, perhaps that sounds so ridiculous to say, well, of course it changed your life. But I ask you to look out into the communities that God has placed us in. And I would say to you today that the idea that Christianity changes your life is losing hold in our culture. It's almost as if we assume we're Christian because we were born a Christian. And after all, then we've always been a Christian because we have been, quote, in a Christian nation. And you know what? I think some people are getting very nervous because they see our leaders abandoning Christianity. And what do they have left? What's really there? What's really where? In the heart, hidden. But there. You're not a Christian because those around you are Christian. You're not a Christian because even if you were alive 100 years ago, when this nation at least outwardly was expressing and holding upon Christian values, you still were not a Christian because you were a citizen of the United States. It's never worked that way. This treasure was not found that way. It was found in a hidden place, and this man came upon it and he found it in an odd place, and it's hidden, this treasure is.
This man, when he went away to sell everything he had, as he walked into the field, you know, he looked exactly the same when he walked out. But everything had changed. Everything had changed. His whole life had just changed. When he walked out of that field, he looked just the same as he did when he walked in. But you know what I think people did notice? The smile on his face. The purpose in his eyes. The confidence and the certainty of his attitude and his life. I have a treasure. It's within me and I know it. And it's the best thing that I could have ever found. I never anticipated that I would find it. You ever met anybody or ever had an opportunity? I think you guys have. You've talked about people that God has brought in from outside and they find God and they find salvation and their eyes are just so overwhelmed with joy. I think we must guard our hearts and our children's hearts against becoming deaf to the gospel because they've heard it so many times. Jesus Christ really did die for you. He left the glories of heaven to put himself in the place of man in the eyes of the law of God so that you would not have to endure that punishment. There should be joy unspeakable in our hearts. We ought to long to see that in those around us, and we ought to rejoice in our own. And this man, as he left, he looked the same because it was an inward joy. No doubt people noticed, but outwardly his physical body was the same as was mine when I got saved. I walked out of that church service just exactly the way I looked when I walked in, but there was a peace, a joy. Changed my life. Talk to so many people, and I know you do too, that talk about Christianity, and it's almost like a social organization. It's almost like a club. It's almost like this, yeah, I've got this, my job's going on, and my family's going on, and we go to church. No, that's not Christianity. Not the way the Bible talks about it, because this man, if he had a business, he sold it. I'm not saying we need to go sell it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But this man, he sold everything. Jesus is telling us, he's painting a picture through a parable of what this treasure actually is. So many have trivialized salvation to the point that it means little, if anything, to people's lives. This treasure is valuable the moment it's found. And as that man that we quoted earlier today, it's more valuable as the years go by. You want a solid investment. That's it. It's of infinite value the moment you get it, and it will never lose value throughout eternity. I've been wondering, as a father and as a provider for a family, how do you prepare in these economic times of concern and worry? What do I do? What do I do? It seems like no matter what you do, there could be loss. And at some point you say, yeah, you're right. It could be. Everything could be lost. But this can't. This can't be taken from anyone who has it. God has given it. No one can take it. And the scriptures are clear about that time and again. I believe that those who stumble at the thought that salvation can be lost are really stumbling in many ways with the reality of what salvation is in the first place. This man, he's walking through this field, never expecting, no doubt, to find this treasure. He finds it and he hides it. And what does he do to obtain it? He sells everything. He sold everything. All that he had is what the scriptures said. And I had this thought last night, and I have it again this morning. Is our salvation, is your salvation worth every penny that you have? You know, we always said that people will spend every last dime they have for their health. And I think it's true. Many have said that we are all one illness away from poverty because we'll sell everything to get better, to be healthy. This man went and he sold everything he had. Salvation, this treasure, this gift,
It was not given in part, and it's not obtained in part. Jesus did not come and almost die. He was dead on the cross. That's why the scriptures are purposeful in that they went and they pierced his side. They were checking to determine, is he dead? Because they were worried about their religious exercises that were coming, and they said, he can't be hanging there on the Sabbath day. And they were going to break his legs, but he was already dead. He didn't almost die. And I'll tell you, you'll not almost be saved. You'll not almost find this treasure. You'll not almost be convinced and persuaded. You will be either fully persuaded or you will not be persuaded. There is no in between. The gift was not given in part and in partial measure, and it is not received in part and in partial measure. This man did not simply take upon himself the idea or take a little bit of this treasure, even if he could. He went and sold everything. Salvation is not found by giving God a portion of your heart. It's found by giving Him all of it. All of it. Many have made salvation that way, though. Salvation is offered on the cheap in countless places across the world. It's offered cheaply. And therefore, you give of your heart cheaply. And you never find it. Because the scriptures are clear about the reality that God wants your heart, and we must give Him all of it. I believe, this is just me, I believe in many places across our country, and I believe even in the world, at least in the very few places I've traveled, I believe people are beginning to see through the cheap salvation that's being offered. I believe there are people who are beginning to see the marketing job that has been done in our culture about Christianity. And they're seeing the product that they're left with is empty and without substance. And certainly isn't worth going and selling everything that you have. And oftentimes I think religion's greatest, one of its greatest temptations. We give religion a bad name. Religion, when done right, is good and healthy and helpful. But Satan can utilize religion just like any other. And I think he can allow religion and our tendency to offer salvation at a discount. And in so doing, he attracts a lot of people because they say, hey, I can have heaven and I can have earth all at the same time. I can have it all. Isn't that the American dream? I can have it all. I'd say that's exactly contrary to what Jesus said. It's unbiblical. You can have one or the other. We'll say that and get into that a little bit more perhaps in a place, but in many places today, religion is the salvation. You know, it just cheapens it. It looks similar in many ways, but it just is not the same thing. Listen to what he says. The treasure that this man found as he walked through the field, and he left and he went away and he sold everything that he had, and he went away with joy. This man did not reluctantly sell all that he had. He was not given some kind of charge by anyone to say, well, if you want this, you need to sell everything. You don't see him sitting in angst, thinking, is this treasure worth it? You don't see him wrestling in his mind and in his heart, is this treasure worth it? We see him almost as if with a smile on his face. He purposely and methodically sells everything he has, knowing the treasure was waiting for him. Now I want you to imagine for just a minute all of his family and his friends. This is a parable, I know. But it is a parable illustrating truth.
And a man comes and he finds the treasure that is worth selling everything. And he leaves with a smile on his face. Can you see him in the marketplace? Purpose in his eyes, as I said a moment ago. Purpose in his step. Meaning and clarity and certainty and joy in his heart. And he's selling everything. What do you think his family and friends are saying? What are you doing? You've lost your mind. What are you doing? You're selling everything. And he just smiles and he looks for the next bid on whatever he's getting rid of. He's going to sell it all. They're screaming at him. No doubt there would be people in your life. Maybe there have been people in your life. What are you doing? I've had people ask me similar questions. Not that I can put myself on any kind of pedestal, but there have been decisions made that have made people cock their eyebrow at me. What are you doing? And just with confidence and the certainty of the treasure that God has shown. Follow Him. You just almost sense this. And you can hear Him, by the way, can't you? They're just saying, you're throwing it all away. You're selling absolutely everything. What are you doing? You're losing your mind. And you can almost hear Him turn around and say, yes, but this ship is sinking. And what use will that treasure be anyway? I have a treasure that's going to see me through the rest of eternity. And they don't understand, and no doubt he alienates many people. No doubt it's not beneficial. Assume for a moment that some of his friends and family were unbelievers or are unbelievers in our situation today, and you're selling everything has a negative impact on them. And what would they do? They would be angry. Wouldn't understand. But this man finds this treasure and he cannot leave it there. He goes and he sells everything and he sells it willingly and without being coaxed or coached or prodded to do so. There is a place for God's people to encourage lost people to repent and to be saved. There absolutely is. We ought to be doing that, but we need to take great care. When we did. This man was not coaxed or prodded along. God had revealed to him the treasure and he went to God. And it was done in joy. And I want to bring this back to those of us that have been saved. If serving God in your life is a drudgery to you, then this verse should serve as a chastisement. If serving God has always been a drudgery to you, maybe you're one. Maybe you know people like this that are they're trying to be Christian and it really cramps their style. It really gets in the way. It's not a joy to them. It's never a joy to them. If serving God is not a joy to you, and it's never been a joy to you, I want to warn you about the condition of your soul. It does not mean that I can look down in there and say that, but this man did not look at this treasure and walk away with his head down and his shoulders slumped and shuffling his feet and saying, now I got to sell everything because I got to go get that. No, that's not how it worked. He went and gladly let go of everything else. If serving God in your life is drudgery to you, then you need to get up on your knees and find out what's going on. And I've been there and I know this personally. When it becomes a drudgery, we're missing the point. Even in desiring to do good, God wants us to be joyful. I'm going to take a page out of Osteen's book. He wants you to be happy. He just knows what it takes for you to really be happy. Which is to come to Him in full hearts. Not in a drudgery, not. And I think sometimes we need to take care about this and consider the projection that we give the world. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and I look forward to it and I long to see it and I enjoy it. And even though that preacher can't preach a lick, he can't teach, but the people and God's presence are there and it is a wonderful joy. And not only that, but on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and all these days, it's a joy. It's not easy. It does not mean there are not burdens and heartaches and pains, but it is a joy. This man found the treasure
And it was not a drudgery to him to sell it all. It was unprodded by anyone, and he went and he did it. He did not delay. Did he? He didn't walk through this field. This is a one verse parable. We don't read that he came through the field and he looked and he saw the treasure and he began to think and thought, I'm gonna consider that. And go on his way. Spend a week or a month or a year. I wonder if I should sell everything so that I can get that treasure. It's not how we see it done. It's not how this scripture presents this parable. It's not what Jesus said. Once the treasure was found, the man began the effort then to obtain it. This man could not know how long the treasure might be within his grasp. He could not know how many opportunities he might have. He could not know anything other than this: I must go now. When God reveals the treasure of the gospel to your heart, about the fact that you are a sinner and you know it because the Spirit of God has convicted you and you come to God in repentance and faith, you must go to Him then. Not later, not down the road, not when it's more convenient, not when it matches to what you have in your head, but when God reveals the treasure to you is the moment that you must sell all to get it. And let go of it. And walk away having your mind and your heart singularly focused upon Christ. Imagine what it would have looked like for this man to have left this treasure in the field. We would have looked at him a little bit silly. How? Why would you do that? I wonder when time is declared no more and this earth is swallowed up in the judgment of God. I wonder how that question will echo. Why didn't you take the treasure that God offered? Well, why don't we? Why do men leave the heavenly treasure? When this treasure again is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord through repentance towards God and faith in Christ. It is the promise and certainty of hope, love, life, and blessing. Why do men leave this treasure untouched? Because I will say to you today that many do. Many people come into church pews all across this land and this country, and they sit and they listen to stories and parables and sermons about and songs and testimonies about this treasure, and they get up and they walk out. Why do they do that? We already talked about it to some degree. And this is the pivot point of the message. Men leave the heavenly treasure because they cannot obtain the heavenly treasure and hold on to their earthly treasure at the same time. They just can't. I don't say that by my authority. I say it by the authority of Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. This is why people do not pick up the heavenly treasure. They're walking through the field. They see the treasure. And in this parable, this man goes and sells everything that he has. And he goes and he sells it because he can't hold on to that and this treasure at the same time. By analogy, it is as if he's walking through the field holding all of his earthly goods. And as he's walking through the field, he looks down and he sees this treasure of far greater value. And do you know what religion will do for you today? You know what people will say to you today under the name of Christianity? They'll say, just add a little bit of it. You don't have to get rid of the earthly treasures. You don't have to do that. You can have both. We as people, we work very hard to work our way around the reality that we cannot have both. We make excuses and we provide ourselves many justifications, but we simply cannot serve God and this world at the same time. Saying or acting like we can is to call Jesus Christ a liar. And we can't. Jesus said you can't. People leave this treasure because they're not willing to let go of the earthly treasures when we all know we're going to let go of them anyway.
Finding this treasure changed the course of the rest of this man's life. Remember, he sold everything. He sold everything. He has nothing left but to pursue the use of the treasure he's found. In like manner, once salvation is obtained, this heavenly treasure, once we have found it, a man has nothing left but to pursue the use of that treasure. If you are, in your life, pursuing earthly wealth, prosperity, security, and ease, I can tell you why you're not happy. It's because you're pursuing earthly wealth, prosperity, comfort, and ease. It's ironic, and it's a testimony once again to Satan's ability to convince, to persuade, to distort the truth. We've said this before. Never underestimate his ability to do that. Never underestimate the enemy's capability to make a lie sound so good. He talked perfect people out of a perfect garden. You and I are born in sin and already can do nothing but sin outside of the grace and the help of God. And this enemy of ours comes to us and tells us that security, comfort, consolation, peace, happiness, all these things that the human condition lacks, that we are trying to find, we try to find it in the world. The world then ultimately does not provide it, and we are unhappy. But not this man. Because he sold everything, because he's looking to his heavenly home. His heavenly treasure that is worth more than any of the rest of it. If this treasure has been revealed to you, if you've seen it, then I would ask you to let down all of the rest of the burdens that are in your hands, metaphorically speaking. Let down everything. Let down everything else in your life and go to find this treasure. It really is that simple. You know what I think sometimes we struggle? You know what we struggle with? This is my perception, my opinion only. I think sometimes we struggle to make the field what we think it should look like instead of worrying about the treasure. Look, the treasure is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of your sin. It's salvation, it's peace, it's joy. It's the only treasure we have. On this day, for this man, it happened to be in the middle of a field. For many, it has been in the midst of a church. It's been in a revival service. It's been on a Sunday morning service. It's been on a Wednesday night service. But sometimes we must guard ourselves against worrying about the field. Making sure the field is right. Not focusing upon the treasure. Our struggle is to make much of the treasure, not the field. Our focus is to show the world the treasure. It's to show them who Jesus is in Christ and what He has done. Lost people, as are God's people, are far too often focused on the field and not the treasure. Satan loves to do that. Well, you're not in a church building. You can't be saved. It's not revival time. The field's not set. And it's as if we think the treasure is dependent upon the field. And it isn't. I tell you this, you're going to be held just as accountable on the day of judgment for your opportunity to find this treasure. Whether it was presented to you in a church house, driving down the road, at school, at work, talking with a friend, the field is only a tool. It isn't a treasure. So as we serve God, we've already been in many places, in situations that have felt unusual to us, and the field doesn't feel right at times. Take our eyes off of the field and put it upon the treasure, and it won't matter what the field looks like. God, show us again the treasure. As we said in the beginning, as we walk through this field, those of us that have been saved, may we rejoice in the renewed reality of the treasure that we found, that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus, because He ever lives. He has defeated death and the grave. He lives now and He lives forever, our High Priest. And He is the one that secures us and holds us, and we have this treasure. There are many people that do not. I wonder, even among our number, if we were to take a piece of paper and list everybody we know that we're pretty sure are concerned about their salvation, how many pages of a notebook would we fill? I believe there'd be pages and pages. That's the field, perhaps. That's where God wants us to have an impact, to show the world, to bring to them to light as we're walking with them through our life. In whatever scenario and situation that God has, every now and again, to be able to say to them, look there, there's the treasure. As I'm talking with people at work and they ask questions, or we're talking about godly things in the Scriptures, and there's opportunities for me to say, look, there's the treasure. It's Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And the change of heart and the working of the Spirit of God, making us a new creature. And there'll be opportunities for you too. Walking in the field together with those that you know that God has placed you in their lives for the very purpose to, as you're walking together through the field of this world, point every now and again and say, have you seen the treasure? And when they see it, and God takes it from there, and they go and they willingly sell everything they have. Not in its sense that we do that to make us righteous, but we do that because we're willing to do so. Everything else can be forsaken, but this one thing must be obtained. And we've gained a brother, we've gained a worker, we've gained a laborer in the field. And every now and then, as we labor together in the field, there'll be others that come by and we say, have you seen the treasure? It's not really that complicated. Satan wants to make us think it is. I thank the Lord that I know this treasure. I thank Him that I have found it, that He showed it to me, that after repentance and faith, it was mine. After repentance and faith, which is the reality of giving everything, it is that selling of everything. Fully repent and fully believe, and He gave me the treasure. It's worth everything. And I'm in that decade of the 40s, as I read that quote from that preacher who was in his 70s, having pastored a church for 41 years. And I thought he was right on at 40 when burdens began to press heavily. Don't know that I've ever felt more burdened from a worldly perspective and the responsibilities and the obligations of a husband and a father than I do now at 41. And he says, at 40, when burdens began to press heavily, and I agree with him here, the years seemed to hasten, I said, nothing is as good as the gospel. I can only say amen. Nothing is as good as this treasure. Let's have a song. You have